All right, Tavos, good morning. Today's daf is Kuf Zayin. We're going to have 107. We're going to pick up on Kuf Vav Amud Beis. So we'll say it's 2, 4, 6 lines up in the bottom. Rabbi Akiva Omer, we actually stopped kind of in the middle of a conversation. Rabbi Akiva says, In mistakrim b'shal hekdish, af blo b'shal aniyim. So Rabbi Akiva says, that I must remember the Gemara was describing before how the Beis HaMikdash would go ahead and kind of conduct commerce with some of the, let's say again, the additional flour from the Mincha. They'd go ahead and they'd purchase shmanim, salasos, you know, oil and flour and all different kinds of things and sell it at a markup. So Rabbi Akiva says, no, basically it doesn't do that. In mistakin b'shal hekdish, we do not go ahead and conduct business with hekdish, af below shalaniyim, nor do we conduct business or any kind of like transactions with tzedakah money. So the Gemara says, b'shal hekdish, my time alone, why don't we go ahead and engage in any kind of practices to make additional money with hekdish? The Gemara says, because in aniyus makom ashiros, because this notion of, let's say, taking additional flour and selling it off to generate a profit, that's trying to make, you know, every dollar stretch in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash represents grandeur. The Beis HaMikdash represents wealth. So therefore, again, the same way that the Gizbar doesn't sit there, you know, snipping coupons, because it's not appropriate for the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be everything beautiful, everything royal. The king doesn't worry about how to generate extra profit from the items that he has. So too in the Beis HaMikdash, literally, in Anilas Mokmash, there's no poverty in a place where there is great wealth. Now this is very interesting. So why don't we try to make a little bit of additional profit off tzedakah money? Again, Abbas, remember, the goal is to plow it back into tzedakah. The goal is to grow the tzedakah funds. Why don't we do that? To which the Gemara says, Dilma misrami luhu anya veleka lemisva le. Because maybe, again, the Ani will need the money. And ultimately, again, if it's tied up in investments, you won't have it to give it to him. Also, you should know, there's a lot of contemporary halachic literature about this. If, let's say, again, an organization, a charitable organization has money, someone makes a major gift, and let's say, again, organization wants to go ahead and invest that money. So there's a lot of interesting halachic discussion about how aggressive you can be in your investment strategies when it comes to tzedakah monies. And again, this comes up all the time because you could have a situation where, let me say, you could grow that keren, that principle that you have in an incredible way, but you also run the risk of losing it. Furthermore, again, if it's needed, you may not be able to pull it out of the investment. So again, what the Gemara is saying over here is a good morning, is that Lemaisa, Rabbi Kiva says, that a person has to be careful with investing tzedakah monies to make sure that those monies will be available for the aniyim. Mish halach l'medina hasayam. So remember again, the Mishnah spoke about the idea about a man who goes to medina hasayam and the woman comes to go ahead and ask Beis Din to seize property for her for mezonos purposes. So says the Gemara, Itmar, Rav Amar, poskim mezonos le'ishas ish. So Rav says, if a woman shows up to Beis Din, and she says, my husband went overseas, Beis Din seizes his property, sells it off in order to provide her with mizonos, in order to provide her with sustenance. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel said, no, in poskim mizonos le'eshes ish. Shmuel says, no, Beis Din does not seize property in order to provide her with mizonos. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel said, modeli Abba. Abba, and Abba says, Shmuel's referring to Rav as Abba, as my father, because Rav was significantly older than Shmuel, was the ranking sage. So Shmuel said, Abba, Rav would agree with me. B'shlosha chadashim arishonim. So Rav agrees with me that if a woman shows up to Beis Din within the first 3 months after her husband went overseas, that we do not seize property for her for mizonos purposes. Why? Lefi she'in adam aniach beiso regan. Because a person does not leave his home empty. The idea is if a man's going overseas, he's not going to go ahead and leave his home. He's not going to leave his wife without anything. Therefore, again, if she's going within the first 3 months, chances are she's not telling the truth because he would have left her provisions. However, again, the Gemara says, but so furthermore, the Gemara says that when we hear that the husband went overseas and he died, so everyone agrees that what? That you go ahead and you seize property for satisfaction of mizonos. Ki pligi, when do they argue? B'shalosh shama bo shemes. Rabbi said, when do Rav and Shmuel argue? When he went overseas, and no one's saying that he died, meaning as far as we know, he's still alive. Rav amar poskin. So Rav says, we go ahead and we seize property, sell it off to provide her with mizonos. Daha mishubadla. because the Bible says at the end of the day, remember, he has a responsibility towards her to provide her with mazonos. So if he did not leave any behind, then lemaise again, she has the right to tell Beis Din, sell off the properties and give me my mazonos. Shmuel said, in poskin. No, remember again, this is assuming that there is no one saying that he died, and this is within the first 3 months. Shmuel says that we do not go ahead and seize any property. Why? My time, Rav Zivid Amar, Ema Tsrari Atbisa. So Shmuel says, because we're concerned, Rabbi Osai, that what happened? That before he left, maybe he really did go ahead and leave her money. Maybe he left her. Tsrari Atbisa means he gave her a bag of money, and she's trying to double dip by now collecting additional property in satisfaction of mazonos. I'm sorry? Shmuel holds in poskim mazonos bichlal. Correct, even after 3 months. He's just saying that Rav agrees with me within the first 3 months. So the Gemara says, so therefore, again, first opinion according to Shmuel is that we don't allow her to collect because we have to be choshesh that perhaps he left her money and therefore let her collect her mazonos from there. Rav Papa says, no, chayshinan shema amrla tsi'i ma'aseh adech b'mazonoseich. Rav Papa, on the other hand, said that we're concerned that maybe he said to her, why didn't he leave her any mazonos? Because he said to her, you keep your earnings. Right, you have a job, you earn money, you keep your earnings, and I won't give you mazonos. So the Gemara says, and therefore again, Shmuel says, because you have to be choshesh for this, therefore we will not allow her to go in and just simply, or we will not allow Beis Din to simply seize property for mazonos. So my ben Arabah says, so remember, there are now, there's a machlokus between Rav Papa and Rav Zivid. Rav Zivid and Rav Papa, in Shitas Shmuel. Shmuel saying that Lamaisa, again, if a woman shows up in Beis Din and says, my husband's overseas, I have no mazonos, Beis Din does not seize property for her. So the Gemara says, so now machlokes as to why that is. So Rav Zavid saying because Rechoshesh that maybe he left her money, and therefore because he left her money, she has no right to seize property. Or Rav Papa saying maybe he said to her, Tzima Seyedech B'mzono Seich, keep your earnings and support yourself.
Can't all this be established? I mean, why?
Well, that's what we're saying. When Shmuel says she can't collect, that's another way of saying, ultimately, again, that she can't just walk into Beis Din and assume that she's entitled to mazonos. Now, again, it doesn't preclude her from proving that she never received any money or that he never made this arrangement with her. Correct. When Shmuel says we don't sell period, Shmuel says under normal circumstances, unless she can prove that these concerns are not concerns, we're not collecting property. See, the difference is that Rav is saying, when she walks into Beis Din and says, my husband's overseas and he left me nothing, Beis Din says, okay. She doesn't have to prove anything. Should we just accept that claim? Because again, that's her entitlement. Shmuel saying, no, we don't collect. I mean, if you just walk into Beis Din and say your husband owes you mazonos, he's overseas, we were not giving you anything. You want to prove your case further, you absolutely have that right. Shmuel is the Mishnah. We're going to get to that. Shmuel, we discussed the Mishnah. So my Binayu, so we'll say, so what's the practical difference between these two opinions? Ika Binayu Gidola Velo Safka Inami Kitana V'Safka. So we'll say the nafkamina would be in the following case. If she's a Gidola, she's an adult. So Rabbi said, if she's an adult, it's possible that the husband deposited money with her because she's capable of guarding it. But let's say it's a case where she's an adult, but we know that she doesn't generate enough money to support herself. See, if you're concerned that he gave her money, that concern would still apply. If you think that maybe he told her, Tzima Seyadech Memzono Seich, that wouldn't apply. Inami, Kitana V'Safka. The other possibility is that she's a Kitana, but she does earn enough money to support herself. So if she's a Kitana, chances are husband's not depositing with her any kind of money, but because she's a Kitana. But Lamaisa, again, she does generate enough earnings to be able to support herself. So we'll say, so this is the fundamental machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav saying she shows up to Beis Din gives her mazonos. Shmuel saying we do not give her mazonos. So we don't seize property to give her mazonos. So now the Gemara is going to try to bring a number of objections to Shmuel. So Tznan, mi shalach l'medina sayon v'ishto tovas mazonos. If a man went overseas and a wife comes to Beis Din saying, my husband left me no forms of support, sell off some of his property. Chanan amar tishava besof lo tishava betchila. So we'll say now, get to Mr. Martyr's point, the Mishnah. Chanan says, shvua. Right? Chanan says, she doesn't have to take a shvua by mazonos. Like tishava besof, when does it mean she'll swear at the end? Later on, when she'll want to collect her ksuva, that's when she'll have to swear. But for mazonos, she does not have to take a shvua. And the B'nai Kohanim Gidolim argued on Chanan, and they said, no, she has to take a Shavua for Mazonos, and she has to take a shavua for ksuva. But they both say, for our purposes, what does this teach us? Ad kan lo pligi ela le'inyon shavua. But they both say, interestingly enough, the machlokes in Chanan and the sons of the Kohanim Gedolim is legabe what? Is legabe a shavua. Does she have to take a shavua before collecting mezonos from her husband's estate? Aval mezone yahavina la. But Rabbi say everybody agrees that what? That if she shows up in Beis Din and says, my husband didn't leave me any mezonos, that what? That we, the Maisa, go ahead and sell off the property. So this is a support for Rav, a contradiction to Shmuel, to which the Gemara says, Tirgima Shmuel, b'sheshama bo shemes. Oh, Rabbi say, what's the case over here? Shmuel will say, the case over here is where Beis Din heard that the husband died. So let's remember again, we already established earlier, that even Shmuel agrees in a case where the husband died, that what? That Lamaisa we will provide her with mezonos. Next. Tashma. Misha halach lemedina sayam v'ishtotavas mezonos. If a man went overseas and his wife came to Beis Din claiming that her husband didn't leave her mezonos. So remember again, she wants Beis Din to sell off the husband's property. So b'nei kohanim gidolim omrim tishava. So the sons of the kohanim gidolim say she has to take a shvua. Chanan amar lo tishava. And Chanan says she doesn't have to take a shvua prior to collecting mizonos. Ve'imbava amar pasakti la mizonos. But Rabbi say, if he came along, right? If he came back, and then so we'll say, so now the parentheses in all of this is, let's say she went ahead and she borrowed money in order to provide for mizonos, and he comes back and he says, what are you talking about? I took care of your mizonos. And he proves that claim. I left you money in the account, or I left you this. He says, I left you mizonos. Then what's the halacha? Ne'aman. Then Rabbi say, he is believed. Rabbi say, now the ramifications, we'll see this later on, but the ramifications of him being believed would be that if she borrowed money to provide for mizonos, then what? He is not obligated to pay back. She would be obligated to pay back those debts. So we'll say, but what do you see over here? The point that comes out over here is that Lamaisa, everybody again is agreeing that halacha Lamaisa, you do seize property for the satisfaction of her mizonos, which is a kasha on Shmuel, to which the Gemara says, halacha nami b'sheshamu bo shemes. So what's the case of Rabbi Osai? That's what? Where they heard he died. So because they heard he died, that's why even according to Shmuel, they sold off the property from mizonos. They must have been 1 second. Vaha im ba va'amar ka'amar. But 1 second, the Brisa just said that he came back. Right? So like wrong religion, right? And I'm saying, you know, like, so what's, you know, so he came back over here and he said, I left her mizonos. To which the Gemara says, no, the case is in Bala Achar Shmuel. So we'll say the case over here is, woman shows up to Beis Din and says, my husband didn't leave me any mizonos. And then what happens? Beis Din hears rumors that he died. Now we'll say, again, if Beis Din hears that he dies, Beis Din is going to act on that information. It turns out that what? The information was wrong. The information was wrong. Tashma, Mishalach Medina Siyam V'ishtot Havas Mizonos. Both say, Bryce says, a man goes overseas and his wife comes to Beis Din claiming he didn't leave me any Mizonos. Please sell off his property and sustain me. V'imba v'amar. Zima Seyedech Mizonoseich. Rashai. So I'll say, listen to this. So now what happens? He comes back and he says, 1 second, we made an arrangement. And the arrangement was that you were going to keep your earnings and support yourself. You generate enough money. You support yourself. So we'll say, so Rashai. So he's permitted to make this arrangement. However, kidmu Beis Din upasku, masha pasku. But Rabbi say, if Beis Din went ahead before he came back and made an arrangement for her, meaning they sold off property, gave him a zonos, whatever they did is done. So Rabbi say, but again, so what do you see from here? You see from here that in fact Beis Din does sell off property to satisfy the mizonos obligation. To which the Gemara says, hachinami bisheshamu bo shemes. Oh, what's the case over here? Rabbi say, the case over here is where they went ahead and they heard that he died, and that's why they acted. Tashma, Misha halach lemedina asayim v'ishtot havas mezonos. Someone goes overseas and his wife comes to Beis Din claiming mezonos. Beis Din yardin l'nechasav, v'zanim v'farnasin l'ishto. So we'll say Beis Din literally sells off his property and supports his wife. Avalo banav u'benosav lo dover acher. But Rabbi say Beis Din does not go ahead and sell off the property to support his sons and his daughters, nor do they sell off the property to go ahead and pay for the other thing. So we'll see what that is in just a moment. Amar Rav Sheish says, "B'mashres ishlay deshlish." What's the case of Rabbi Osei? The case over here is where the man, before he left, had appointed someone. Rashi says, "B'mashres ishlay deshlish." Hemid apetropis lezona va'achshav mashach apetropis as yado the hashtag vada litzori ikat lekalamechash. So we'll say, what's the case over here? When the man went overseas, he appointed an apotropus. he appointed an agent to go ahead and take care of his wife. Now, I will say, now the fact that he appointed an agent to take care of the financial affairs of his wife indicates to us what? That he wants her to be supported. Therefore, because he wants her to be supported, Beis Din says if she has no food, he would have no problem with us going ahead and selling off his property to pay for mizonos. But if that's the case again, then why don't we sell the property to pay for his kids' mizonos also? We'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where he appointed an apotropos to take care of the needs of the wife, but did not appoint an apotropos to take care of the needs of the kids. So what does that tell you? What that tells you is Lamaise, he was interested in assuring the financial security of his wife, but Lavdafka, that he was interested in assuring the financial security of his kids. It wasn't, we went through this sugya. Remember, these can be with older children whom he is not obligated to support. So therefore, the Braisa says that in that case, where he's made it clear that he wants his wife supported, Beis Din will sell off his property to support her, but Beis Din will not sell off his property to support the kids. To which the Gemara says, my Pascha, but how do you know to interpret the case this way? Ela Amar HaPapa, Kishashama Bo Shemes Be'ed Echot. Or, we'll say, the Papa says, I'm going to tell you it's a simpler case. What's the case here? Where she heard, he went overseas, and she gets news that he died. And Eid Echad tells her that he died. So, I will say, watch this. Di'i bois in subi be'eid echad matzi min sabah, mizoni nami yahavin Allah. That I will say, for her purposes, Eid Echad is enough. Because Eid Echad, remember again, one witness shows up and says, that husband died. So what does that give her the power to do? Gives her the power to remarry. So since it gives her the power to remarry, Rabbi Osei means that Eid Echad tells, essentially, ascertains halachically that her husband is dead, in which case it also solidifies her right to mizonos. Therefore, because Eid Echad would give her the right to remarry, i.e. establish the death of her husband, therefore Eid Echad also goes ahead and gives her mizonos. By the children, if an Eid Echad comes along and says, your father died, so that's not enough, for example, to give them title to their father's estate. Right? They would not be permitted, based on that testimony of an Eid Echad, to go ahead and sell off their father's property. So because an Eid Echad does not give them absolute ownership over their father's estate, an Eid Echad saying that your father died does also not what? That didn't make sense. Also doesn't entitle them to mizonos. So the Gemara is reinterpreting this case as dealing dafka with an Eid Echad. Eid Echad, which for her creates reality that she's a widow, also creates reality that she's entitled to mizonos. Eid Echad by the kids, which does not create a reality that they have inherited their father's estate, therefore also does not create a reality in which they are entitled to mizonos. My davar achar, so also remember again, the Braisa also said that now according to this approach, when the Eid Echad comes, so the Maisa again, we're not going to sell off the field for davar acher. So the Gemara says, so Amra Rav Chista, what is it? Tachshit, it refers to both, I understand, tachshit can mean one of two things. Tachshit can mean sometimes jewelry, but tachshit also often means perfume. So we're saying normally again, a man goes in and gives his wife money for perfume, for personal adornments. So if he's overseas, and Eid Echad came and said that he died, so Lamaisa, again, we do not give her a perfume allowance. Rav Yosef Amar Tztaka. Rav Yosef is her first Tztaka. I was about to say that normally we go ahead, let's say she wants to go ahead and give tzedakah from the estate, that we would not give her a tzedakah allotment. Mandamar Tachshit Kol Shekin Tztaka. So I'll say, it's the Mandamar who says that we do not give her money for Tachshit, for perfume, all the more so Tztaka. Because we'll say, if we're not going to go ahead, Rashi says, Tachshit on Amud Beis, Bifsamim Lihiskashet Bahen Ishto. So these are perfume. So we'll say, if we're not giving her perfume, which is something that is necessary for her as an individual, certainly we're not giving her money for tzedakah. However, again, manda amar tzedakah, aval tachshit yavin aleh, but Rabbi said the manda who says that we don't give her money for tzedakah, would still agree that we bless you, that we give her money for tachshit, for perfume. Why? Delo necha leh ditinaval. Rabbi said, understand, so perfume in the times of the Gemara is different than perfume today. So perfume today is for additional added nice scent. So remember, perfume in the times of the Gemara often came instead of what? Instead of bathing, right? People did not bathe as frequently. So such perfume was often necessary in order to mask odor. So the Gemara says, so a man doesn't want his wife to be with that perfume, even if he's not home. So the Maisa, according to Mandam, who says that we don't set aside money for tzedakah, would still agree that we set aside money for the tachshit. So the Gemara says, Tashma, Hayivama Gimel Chadash Mishorim Nizoros Mishal Baila. Plus, it was still trying to prove who's right, Rav or Shmuel. So here, the Bryce says the following: Hayivama. Remember, Yivama, a woman is married to a man. Man dies without children. She is now subject to Yibam to marry the surviving brother in order to establish to have children in memory of her deceased husband. So a woman, bless you. So a woman is waiting for Yibam. A woman whose husband died. She's waiting for Yibam with her brother-in-law, surviving brother, her husband's surviving brother. Hayivama, Gimel Chadash Mishonin, Nizonis Mishal Baila. Rabbi say for the first 3 months after her husband's death, she is supported from the estate of her deceased husband. Mikan ve'ilach, for after 3 months, einor nizonus lo mishal baila v'lo mishal yavam. So I'll say, after 3 months, she is no longer, and wasn't that, why 3 months? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, shlosha chadashan harishonim, she'in yechola lo dihinasi v'lo disyabim nizonus mishal baila. I'll say, for the first 3 months after her husband dies, remember, she can't do anything. Why? We establish this, that's the time of havchana. Whenever a woman exits a relationship, whether it's through divorce or death, she has to wait 3 months before doing anything to ascertain whether or not she is pregnant. So because remember, again, we want to know if she gets married, you know, a week after her husband dies, well, it raises other concerns. But if she gets married a week after her husband dies or after she divorces, lemais again, then she gets pregnant or she finds that she's pregnant a month later. It's a shayla who she's pregnant from. So because that we have a mandated havchana, and as we have established, that 3 month waiting period, by the way, applies, we know, in all cases. She could be a 90-year-old widow who wants to get married. We still have havchana. So for the first 3 months, we say she is supported from the deceased husband's estate. Mikan ve'elech, after the first 3 months, so she's not supported from the deceased husband's estate, nor is she supported from the Yavam's estate. Remember, the Yavam is the man with whom she's going to do Yibam. She's not supported by either of them. So the Gemara says, Amad Bidin Ubarach, but Rabbah say, let's say the Yavama went ahead and Amda Bidin means she brought him to Beis Din. Now why would she bring him to Beis Din? She says, Amda Bidin Va'amra lo kinos o chalutz. Right, let's say the Yavam is dragging his feet, and she summons him to Beis Din and says, "No, let's go." Right? Either do Yibam or do Chalitza, whatever it is, but just do something. And what happens? Ubarach, he ran away. So we'll say, so for whatever the reason, he ran away before doing Yibam or Chalitza. So what's the halacha in that case? Nizonas Michel Yavam. And we'll say, in that case, she is supported from the Yavam's estate. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that Lamaisa, when a woman says, I don't have mazonos, that there are circumstances where Beis Din will go ahead and what? Go into the property of the individual and they'll sell it off for the sake of providing with mazonos. So we'll say, this is a contradiction to Shmuel, because Shmuel, remember again, Lamaisa said that we do not seize property and sell it off for mazonos. So Shmuel would say, well, 1 second, Lamai Nechushla. What should we be concerned for in this case? So he says, Lamai Nechushla Lahai, Imishum Tsrari, Lo Mikra Vedaite Ligaba. So let's say, if you want to be concerned that before, let's say, the Yavam ran away, he gave her money, that doesn't make sense. He's not giving her any money because they're not married yet. So because they're not married, we don't have to be concerned maybe he gave her some money for mazonos. Imishum Maisi Adeha. And if you want to say that he said to her, Tzima se'adech l'mzono seich, right? Go ahead and use your earnings to support yourself, and I'm not chayv to do anything for you. That can't be why. Lo mishtabdalei. Because they both say, he, the Yavam, has no rights on that, has no rights against her ma'ase adayim before Yibam is affected. Tashma, ha'isha shahachihi ubay l'mdina sayam. Both say, woman goes overseas with her husband. Ubasa v'amra meis bayli. And I both say, what happens? And she says, my husband died while we were overseas. So what's that halacha? Ratzasa nizonas, ratzasa govek suvasa. If she wants, she could collect mizonos, meaning she could collect mizonos from the estate. And, or if she wants, she could collect her ksuva. Look at Rashi. Ratzasa nizonas, sha'isha ne'amenes lomar mis baili, vitinase, ukishim shne'amenes linase, kach ne'amenes litol ksuvasa, kidamidam sechas yivamas. Gemara says, since she's believed to say my husband died, and that statement would actually allow her to go ahead and get remarried. So once she's believed to say that, she's also believed to collect her mazonos or to collect her ksuva. However, if she comes back and she says, Gershani Bali, if she says, what about say? If she says that Lamaisa, she says, my husband divorced me, right? My husband divorced me while we were overseas, then what's the halacha? Misparnesas veholechas ad kidei kisuvasa. Then Rabbah says she is entitled to draw support from the estate, but the amount of support from the estate that she has is capped at the value of her ksuva. So she could choose to take a ksuva payment, or she could choose to take mizonos. But if she chooses to take mizonos, then what? That amount of mizonos will be credited against her total ksuva payment. Look at Rashi. Misparneses v'oleches, ksuva lo gavya. She does not go ahead and collect her ksuva. Shema lo girsha, because maybe he didn't divorce you. And when it comes to Gersha, we'll say, we'll discuss it, I don't fully believe her. So essentially what we do is, because you don't know if she's telling the truth or not, we leverage our risk. How do we leverage our risk? You could collect your mazonos up until the value of your ksuva. Because Mimon Afshach, if she wasn't really divorced and you were entitled to the ksuva, you just got it. But if you weren't divorced, so we didn't give you a ksuva, but all we gave you was mizonos, but at least we put a cap on the amount of your mizonos. So the Gemara says, but the point is, what do you see from here? You see from here that Beis Din does get involved, and Beis Din, remember the common theme over here is just bringing up case after case after case, where Beis Din does get involved, sees assets of the husband, sells it off to provide it with mizonos. What's the case over here? The case over here is where they heard that the husband died. So if that's the case, why do we cap our mizonos up until the value for ksuva? Because the Rebbe says she is the one ultimately again who compromised her own position. Because the Rebbe says by saying that she was divorced, remember again, the ma'aseh woman is divorced. She's not entitled to what? She's not entitled to ksuva. So because she compromised her own situation, therefore again we cap her support at the value of her ksuva. Tashma. Ketzad amru mima enes in la mizonos. So we'll say again, in what circumstances do we say that a mima enes doesn't have mizonos? I remember the case of mima enes is a girl who was married off by her brother or by her mother. Rabbinic marriage. She has the right to dissolve that marriage by simply refusing her husband. So she says to her husband, I don't want to live with you anymore. Marriage is done. So when do we say that the mima enes doesn't have mizonos? Obviously, it can't be a case where they're living together, because if they're living together, then the husband is obligated to provide it with mizonos. Ella, kigon shahalach baila lemedina sayam. Rather, what's the case where a husband went overseas and she claims she doesn't have any mizonos? Love sava achla amda umiyana. So I'll say if she borrowed money. And in order to provide her mizonos, and then what? After she provided money, so she goes ahead and she does miyun. She repudiates the marriage. I don't want the marriage anymore. Then what's the halacha? The halacha is that when husband comes back, he doesn't have to pay the bill for the money she borrowed from mizonos. So let's play this out. So let's say girl is married to man, right? She is a katana. She's married to a gadol. He goes overseas. Rabbinic marriage. He goes overseas. Leaves her no mizonos. At least she claims. She borrows $1,000 from Ruvain to pay for her mizonos. And then what? And then she does miyun. She says, I don't want this marriage anymore. Husband comes back. She says, honey, I have bad news and bad news, right? The bad news is we're not married because I refused the marriage. I'm out. She doesn't have to do that in his presence. And number two, you also have a $1,000 bill sitting on the kitchen table from the money I had to borrow for mizonos. So the Gemara says he does not have to pay that bill. Why doesn't he have to pay that bill? Because once we all say, what happens when she does miyun? Miyun retroactively annuls the marriage. If retroactively annuls the marriage, then it turns out that when she borrowed $1,000 to go ahead and for mizonos, so who's responsible for that debt? She is, because retroactively they're not married. So we'll say, however, you see, time of the miyuna. Now, the reason he's not liable for that money, for that $1,000 that she had to borrow, is because she retroactively annulled the marriage. Ha lo miyuna. But Jabal say, if she did not do miyun, then what? Then yahavinala. Then lemaisa again. Yavinallah, we would give her the mazonos, and the husband would be stuck with the bill. So again, you see from here what? That Beis Din does have the ability to seize assets, sell it off for her mazonos benefit. So I'll tell you why you can sell off in this case. Because what do you have to be concerned about in this case? So say if you want to say that maybe the husband, before he went overseas, gave her a bag of money, can't be why. Because it will say a man would not give his child wife, his minor wife, a bag of money. Not responsible enough. And if you want to say that, maybe he said to her, keep your earnings and use your earnings to support yourself. Kitana lo sapko. Generally, a kitana cannot generate enough earnings in order to support yourself. So we'll say, my havyala. So we'll say, we just spent the last half hour bringing up contradictions to Shmuel. Now the shaila is, who does the machlokas follow? Who does the halacha follow? So we'll say again, remember, we're left with the fundamental machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to whether or not Beis Din could go ahead and seize property from the husband's estate in order to go ahead and provide for her for mazonos. So Rav says, we sell. We sell. Shmuel says, we don't. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah. So we'll say, so what is the bottom line? So ki asa Rav Dimi amra ma'asa balatnei Rabbi bebe sharim. There was once an episode that came up for Rabbi in Beis Sha'arim, Upasak la mezonos. We'll say, and the case came to Rabbi, and what happened apparently, again, husband was overseas, didn't leave, or the wife said, didn't leave me any mezonos, and Rabbi permitted the Beis Din to sell the husband's property to provide her with mezonos like Rav. Lifnei Rabbi Shah b'tzipori, v'lo pasak la mezonos. But yet a similar case came before Rabbi Shmuel and Tzipori, and Rabbi Shmuel did not allow the sale of the husband's property to provide it with mezonos. So Toibar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan wondered about Rabbi Shmuel's psak, v'chima Rabbi Shmuel shelo pasak la mezonos. So the Gemara says, meaning Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't understand, why did Rabbi Shmuel not allow the Beis Din to sell off property for the sake of mezonos? Ha lo nechleku b'nei kohanim gedolim v'chanan el inyan shvua. Rabbosa, even look at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we had a machlokes as to whether or not she could collect mezonos. Husband's not there, so can she collect mezonos with or without the shvua? So that was the machlokes. But Rabbosa, the machlokes in the Mishnah is only if what? Only if she needs a shvua prior to collecting. But everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that lamaisa, she can collect in the absence of the husband. Shabi Shma, why are you not allowing her to collect mezonos? To which the Gemara says, to which the Gemara says, "Avam mezonos yavin ala." Amar le rose a second wide line. Amar le Rav Shmuel bar Abba kivar tirgima Shmuel bebavel kisheshamu bo shemes. So we'll say Shmuel said that lamaisa. What was the case? The case where the Beis Din allowed collection was a case where they heard that he died. So when they heard that husband died, that everyone agrees that lamaisa you could sell off property in order to go ahead and give him his onos. So the Gemara says, Amar le. Have you interpreted the Mishnah in such a specific way? In other words, that when you give an answer like that, you are really narrowing the scope of the Bryson of the Mishnah's case. Are you sure that that's the right way to interpret it? So I'll say, bottom line, what is the halacha? The hilchasa kavase dirav uposkin mezonos le'eshesish. The Gemara says, we paskin like Rav, and therefore in a case where a husband goes overseas, woman shows up in Beis Din and says, I have no food, I have no mezonos, it didn't leave me anything. So what's the halacha? Beis Din is permitted to go to the husband's property, sell it off, and provide her for mezonos. Provide her with mezonos. Furthermore, v'hilchasa kavase d'Rafuna Amarav, and halacha also follows Rafuna name of Rav, da'am Rafuna Amarav, yichola isha shetomer labayla, eini mezonos ve'eini osem. Furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan, a wife has the right to tell her husband, I'm not working for you. In other words, I'm not giving you my earnings, and you don't have to give me mezonos. Also, meaning a woman could initiate this. She could say, remember, mezonos is a right, an entitlement that she has. She has the right to say, no, thank you. You keep your mezonos. I will go ahead and keep mine as well. So we've discussed this, right? If you have a situation of a woman who makes an incredible amount of money, she's a successful CEO, right? She makes a ton of money. So remember again, normally the halacha is that a husband is obligated to support his wife in order to kind of level the playing field a little bit. She says, fine, you're supporting me. I'll give you my earnings. In other words, I'll give my earnings back into the household. As opposed to her getting supported and, let's say, putting her own earnings in her own bank account. That's not right. So therefore, I will say you have a case where she owns a lot of money, much, much more than anything she needs for her personal sustenance, her personal mezonos. So she can say to him, listen, I have a good idea. You keep your mezonos, I'll keep my earnings, and we'll call it even. Furthermore, in the case of kunya, I will say, what's the case of kunya? Kunya refers to earthenware vessels that have a metallic glaze. So we'll say there is an incredible machlokas. We'll actually see this in Avodah Zarah. In Avodah Zarah, about how you treat clay kunya. So if you have an earthenware vessel that has a metallic coating, say, is that called an earthenware vessel or is that called a metal utensil? I will say, now, there are two major nafkaminas. What are the major nafkaminas? Number one is for tumen tara, right? Remember, again, an earthenware vessel, if it absorbs, cannot be purged. And therefore, the ma'aseh, again, if it absorbs, can't be kashered. Metal can be kashered. So first nafkamina is it metal or is it earthenware? Is by kashered. The other nafkamina is where? By tevilas kelim. By having to tova, by having to put your keli in the mikvah. An earthenware vessel does not require tevila in a mikvah. A metallic one does. So the Gemara says that ta'alokha follows Rav Zavid in the case of kunya. Dam Rav Zavid, hani mani de kunya, chiyuri vo'uchmi. Rabbi say, when it comes to clay kunya that are white or black, shari. Rabbi say, these are permitted. Now I say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Chiyuri sharu, lefi shalferes machlik esacheres, ve'ino manicho lebolo. So Rabbi say, apparently, when it came to these clay kunya, these type of utensils that were coated with some type of metallic overlay, so Rabbi say, so if they're white or black, so Rav Zavid says, if they're white or black, chiyuri v'uchmi shari. So if they're white or black, they're permitted. Now, what permitted means, if you look at Rashi, he says, "Lefi shal feres machlik esacheres ve'eno manicho livloa." So I'll say, apparently, with the black or white clay kunya, so these type of metal overlays prevent the earthenware inside from absorbing anything. Therefore, lemaisa, again, you could kasher it and you could use it. However, yeruki asiri, but Rabbi say the ones that are yarok, right? So yarok ultimately means either greenish or yellowish. So those are also. Look at Rashi again, right in the middle of Rashi. Ava yeruki meurav tzrif shekolim alum besocha oferes vehu az umischalchel asacharis. This is interesting. So apparently, this clay kunya that is greenish has some type of alum in it that ultimately again allows for the earthenware to essentially is porous. So I said the shaila is in these different types of metallic overlays. What it's saying is some trapped the absorption within the metallic overlay, some did not. So those that trap the absorption in the metallic overlay prevent the cheres inside from ever absorbing. If the cheres inside doesn't absorb, then what? Then lemaisa, again, you could capture the utensil. That's with white and black clay kunya. But apparently green clay kunya allow that type of metallic overlay allows for the earthenware vessel to absorb within, and therefore we'll both say once it absorbs, then lemaisa what? Then lemaisa can't go ahead and be kashered. For the amron ella de lespa kir tufani, aval isba kir tufani. Asiri. But Rabbi said this is only said where what? Where, let's say again, where the metal overlay is smooth, where there are no cracks. But Lamai say again, if there are cracks in it, Rashi is bikui, then everyone will agree that what? If there are cracks, then any absorption that goes into the metallic overlay will also what? Will also go into the earthenware vessel and will render the earthenware vessel unkosher. So we'll say for the Gemara ends off with these three piskei halacha. Number one, we paskin like Rav, and therefore we will go ahead, Bezin will seize a husband's property in order to sell it off a wife's mizonos. Number two, a woman has the right to say, tzima se'edech limzonoseich, excuse me, a wife has the right to say, I'll keep my earnings, you keep your mizonos. And number three, that it's only black and white metallic overlays that ultimately, again, allow the are kasherable, because apparently they have no crack, without any cracks, they are non-porous, which means that they could absorb, I mean, not porous to a degree, they could absorb, but they won't allow the absorption to transfer out to the earthenware utensil, keep everything trapped in there, therefore you could kasher it. But green metallic overlay, green clay kunya, ultimately be problematic. Well, so I'll just tell you, interesting, just for what, 30 seconds, is something very interesting. You know, this clay kunya, I'll tell you where this does come up contemporarily. This comes up contemporarily, lemaisa, again, with China that has a glaze. So I'll say China that has a glaze is a big machlokas aposkim as to whether or not it needs to be toveled. China itself does not need to be toveled, right? Because China is earthenware. The glaze, however, is the glass glaze. So the shaila is, what is the status of the glaze? Does the glaze make it into a glass utensil, or does it not make it into a glass utensil? So we'll say, so big machlokas aposkim. So some say it has the status of glass and therefore requires tevila. Again, certainly yeshami lismoch to say that glaze does not define the utensil. It's still considered to be an earthenware utensil, and therefore, again, lemaisa does not require tevila in a mikvah. All right, we'll stop over here with the Mirat Hashem, pick up with the Mishnah tomorrow. Oh, it's only 6:40. I just said, so we have 2 minutes. Okay. Yeah, it's fine.